Ramsey TV.
You know, I never realized how much the NFL, the National Football League, really affected me as a kid. God used it to give me a sense of toughness, of giving everything, of leaving it all on the field. And I just watched like the 100 best receptions in NFL history. Catches, you know, the guys who catch the football from the quarterback. Just unbelievable. I just so enjoyed it. And I always watch highlights of the NFL. Back in the 70s, boy, when the NFL was real, when people really hit. And the quarterbacks weren't treated like, you know, ballerinas. And it was just such a different game back in the 70s. And the 60s and 70s when I watched football. And it was really foundational for me. In the evangel, I realized, you know, God used so many things in my life. Popular culture and the NFL. The Three Stooges, the Beatles, everything contributed to the way I deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. But the NFL for sure. The NFL. Just the with these catches. In fact, I have a link. I know this is going to interest men more than women, but I instructed my sister, Kelly, to put a link at the bottom of the show, the 100 top NFL receptions of all time. They're just amazing. Just the concentration. That's just it. The concentration, the dedication, like the just throwing your body into it. The reckless abandon. And I believe I have that, and I believe I have it partly because of the National Football League, the reckless abandon to just go for it and leave it all in the field. Paul uses sporting analogies all through his letters. He talks about boxing, talks about racing. So Paul loves sports. He probably watched the Isthmian games on the Isthmian Peninsula that were, I think, a precursor of the Olympic Games. And well, of course, they were a precursor of the Olympic Games. And I think Paul was a fan of sports, and he uses that analogy all the time. It was so instrumental for me. So I thank my dad for, you know, tuning me into the NFL. And that was one of the things we did together. We used to watch football on Sunday. Every Sunday watching football. Oh, my God. It was so great. And it's so great for me to watch these highlights. Anyway, it's still, even today, a current inspiration. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome, everybody, to MZTV. I had some criticism for criticizing Clyde. So just briefly, because it's very entertaining and instructive. It's just ridiculous what people think. But it's kind of humorous, too. And then I'm going to go to what Paul says right after the snatching away. We overlook this. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and then we stop. But there's no stopping. Paul did not have chapter headings, so he goes right in. And what he goes into next is really phenomenal. And again, what I told you yesterday is true today. I'm really just wanting to read scripture and comment on it. That's all I can do right now is look at the scripture, the word of God, and then comment on it, and then help us to understand it. All the letters of Paul, not just two letters, all of them. But I've been criticized for criticizing Clyde. And I honestly, my whole motivation for criticizing Clyde is that he eliminated 90% of Paul's letters. He only says two of Paul's letters are for us today, Ephesians and Colossians. He's done away with the snatching away. He says we're all supposed to die, and on and on and on and on and on. And so my job as an evangelist is to expose, rebuke, and entreat, 2 Timothy 4:2. I mean, I believe that for 33 years. So somebody named Shane on me says, it's going to suck when we all realize that love never includes bashing the people who took you in when you were in desperate need of a home after a terrible divorce. Thank you, Clyde. And he spells Clyde, C-L-I-D-E. So I'm not too sure about the Shane. Thank you, Clyde, C-L-I-D-E. Stop picking on him. He's telling me to stop picking on Clyde. Like he thinks this is like a playground battle or something. This is dead serious. We're talking about eliminating 90% of Paul's letters to us. We're talking about doing away with the snatching away. We're talking about a man who is teaching that the era is limitless. When Paul says it's limited, we're talking about a man who thinks that having a family is the greatest spiritual accomplishment in this world, and on and on and on. Obviously, Shane is on his side of the camera for a reason, because he does not understand my job at all. He took you in when you needed him. Yes, he did. Clyde did. And I've thanked him many times over, and I've told you many times how grateful and appreciative I was. But what the hell does that have to do with compromising the evangel? What does it have to do with it? Absolutely nothing. Clyde took me in. I love him. He didn't give me a home. I paid for it. But his family was so loving. He's a very loving man. I've said this over and over and over again. And then this Shane, who spells Clyde C-L-I-D-E. Okay, he says C-L-Y-D-E later. Sorry, don't mean to pick on you, Shane. He says this. He does make a good point here at the end. Maybe you should skip the next conference just to visit Clyde and tell him how much he means to you. That's actually a good idea. I'm not going to skip the next conference. Hope to hell there's not a next conference, but visit Clyde, tell him that is actually a good idea. So Shane, I'm not picking on Clyde like this is a playground dispute. So you don't know what you're talking about there. It's going to suck when we all realize that love never includes bashing people. Yes, love does include bashing people. Haven't you ever heard of tough love? You never heard of tough love? You have to tell your best friend they have bad breath. Stop bashing him. You got to tell your friend that they're going down the wrong road and they need to go to rehab or something. Why are you bashing your friend? It's tough love. You never heard of it, Shane. But you have a good idea at the end. I should visit Clyde, tell him how much he means to me. Well, I probably won't do that, but I will tell him, if he's watching, how much he means to me. I love the man. But again, what does it have to do with this? Absolutely nothing. I don't get it. Sorry, Shane. But then Shane on me says, again, everyone, please understand that Martin is ranting out of anger. Where's the love and patience? The love and patience is everywhere. I'm not ranting out of anger. I'm ranting out of passion. Maybe Liam makes more sense. What does that have to do with it? That is so random. Maybe Liam makes more sense. Then who, me? You're kidding, right? No, Liam doesn't make more sense than me. Liam's a great guy. My answer was, well, you're wrong. I'm ranting out of passion for the evangel. And no, Liam is not correct about some important things. For instance, the preexistence of Christ. That's a major mistake. But he's only been in this work for a short time. I've been in it for 33 years full time and 45 years altogether. So Liam's a newcomer. And I really regret encouraging certain people to start making videos. Okay, that was my bad. Liam's a sweet guy. Maybe Liam makes more sense. In what world? And I'm not ranting out of anger. In fact, I answered him. I said, I'm ranting out of passion. And no, Liam's not correct about some important things, but he is correct about other things. Nice guy, Liam is. Sorry, but you mistake my passion for anger. Get it right, I say at the end. Shane, yet another comment. I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him. If you know so much truth, and he, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 O's. If you know so much truth, why do you fail at the maturity about Clyde? I don't even understand that sentence. Why do you fail at the maturity about Clyde? I don't even understand. I don't even know what that means. That's not even English. And then at the end, he says, are you addicted to self-worship? Well, no, not only am I not addicted to self-worship, but I have no confidence in myself whatsoever. As everyone who has watched me for all these years and listened to me for all these years and read me for all these years, everyone knows that I am not, that I have no self-worship, let alone am addicted to it. So shame on you, Shane. You don't know anything about me. Are you addicted to self-worship? Quick answer, no. Hope that helps. And then there's somebody called HTCEVO2007. Clyde knows what he's doing. Really? Your perception of him is mistaken. Prove it. as humans that we are, well, okay, I'm a human, you are too, you have your views and he has his. Okay, Mr. Obvious, your thinking is faster than his, and yet you'll be with God, who will be all in all in the end anyway. Okay, so that's like thousands and thousands of years from now, we'll be all in all. Okay, what does that have to do with now? What does it have to do with building up the ecclesia, with establishing the ecclesia in truth, with checking on the ecclesia, to make sure we're all believing the same thing? What does that have to do with thousands of years from now, everybody being all in all? That's why HTC EVO 2007, that's why you're on that side of the camera and I'm on this side of the camera, because you're hanging a hammock at the consummation. Your thinking is faster than his, and yet you'll be with God, who will be all in all in the end anyway. Okay, what a luxury you have. Hang your hammock at the consummation. How's it feel at the consummation? Is it nice swinging your hammock in the breeze of Eon 5? Woo-hoo. Hey, I'm here at the end of Eon 3 trying with a passion that Paul had, to make sure we all come to a unity of the faith, that we all might believe the same teaching. That's what I'm doing. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Delivering pizzas? A noble work. Whatever the hell you're doing. You do your job, I'll do mine. You can criticize me. I didn't delete your comment, but I'm going to comment on your comment. Whether he's wrong or you're right, you'll all end up at the same place. Oh, my God. Once again, you're hanging your hammock at the consummation. You have the luxury of saying, everybody's going to be all in all in the end. Why are you getting so excited, Martin, about people leading the body of Christ into terrible error? I don't know. Hey, why don't you ask Paul that? Why don't you ask Paul why he called out Hymenaeus and Philetus? Why he called out Alexander the coppersmith? Why he called out the entire circumcision? Why he called out Peter in Antioch and criticized Peter in front of everyone? Paul, why did you do that? You and Peter, you're all going to end up at the all-in-all at the consummation. Why are you picking on Peter? Stop picking on Peter. He's a nice guy. He gave you the right hand of fellowship. Paul, you're so mean to Peter. Criticizing him in the middle of everybody. Telling him that he's a hypocrite. What about the consummation? You stay on your side of the camera.
I'll stay on my side of the camera. But you're free to comment.
Oh, there's more to this. Whether he's wrong and you're right, we'll all end up at the same place. So it doesn't matter who's wrong and who's right. To HTCEVO 2007. Doesn't matter to him who's wrong or who's right, because he doesn't have my job. He's not doing what I'm doing. He's doing something else that he's fitted for. But I'll tell you one thing he's not fitted for. Evangelism at the end of Eon 3.
So is this not the will of God?
Says HTCEVO 2000. Is this not the will of God? Oh my God, here we go with the absolute and the relative. Yes, it's the will of God. It's the will of God that there be departures from the faith. It's the will of God that there be sectarian people. And it's also the will of God that he raised me up to expose, rebuke, and entreat. That is my charge from Paul. 2 Timothy 4:2. It's not your charge from Paul, obviously.
So is this not the will of God?
Hey, great! 2 exclamation points. So you love him. You have a funny way of showing it. Cut him some slack. Cut him some slack. Tell Paul to cut Alexander the coppersmith some slack. Tell Paul to cut the magician, Bar-Jesus, who was dissuading the proconsul from believing the evangel. And Paul says to Bar-Jesus in Acts chapter 13, on the island of Cyprus, when he's with Barnabas and Mark, he says, oh, you son of the adversary, you enemy of all righteousness, how long will you continue to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? And then Paul blinds the guy, and they have to lead him out because he's blind. HTCEVO and Shane would say,
but it's the will of God. You have a funny way of showing love to Bar-Jesus. He's just a disobedient Jew trying to dissuade a member of the nations from hearing Paul's gospel. Everybody's going to be all in all in the end. Why are you so mean, Martin?
Cut him some slack. No. So my question is, finally you have a question. Are you the rule of thumb? No, thanks for asking, though. I'm not the rule of thumb. The scripture is the rule of thumb. How long have you been listening for? Okay, 2 days? Anyway, who gives a shit, right? 3 question marks. And the guy actually posts this. Okay, brilliant. Thank you for the comment. I left it up. Shane is back. Martin, you remind me of Charles Manson. Do you see a swastika on my forehead? Did I ever live at Spawn Ranch? Is my hair as long? Do I have a beard? I mean, did I ever order people to kill anybody? I remind you of Charles Manson. Okay, Shane. Why do I remind you of Charles Manson? Here's the answer. You literally have the truth. Wow, that's pretty amazing, right? But you are too goddamn bitter at Clyde. Ooh, somebody's bitter at me. I'm not bitter at Clyde. I'm just incredulous that he has fallen so far from the faith to say that only 2 of Paul's letters are for us and that everyone is destined to die, that there's no snatching away, and on and on and on. I'm not bitter. I love Clyde. I love Clyde. Do you understand that? I'm exposing Clyde and rebuking. I'm exposing his teaching and rebuking him. Anyway, nice try. Oh, but my answer is kind of humorous, I have to say. I answered, when he said, Martin, you remind me of Charles Manson. I said, you remind me of Squeaky Fromm. That's what I said. You remind me of Squeaky Fromm. Squeaky Fromm, one of Charles Manson's followers who attempted to assassinate Gerald Ford. I'm just passionate, and I'm correcting Clyde's mistake. My role is to expose, rebuke, and treat. That's what I'm doing, and you don't like it. Sorry. Okay, great. Oh, my God. Now someone called Ola Light Over Darkness. Ola Light Over Darkness says this. You just think too highly of yourself. T-O, not T-O-O. Too highly of yourself. My answer was, you mean too highly of myself? And I spelled it correctly with 2 O's. Ola Light Over Darkness says yes. And then Ola Light Over Darkness comes back with, you are terrible wrong about many things. My answer is, you mean terribly wrong about many things? Ola Light Over Darkness says, yes. And I thank God Linda Morse and Minneapolis Fitter answered this guy. Ola Light Over Darkness, they really nailed him to the wall. I love this. Thank you, Linda and Minneapolis Fitter. Linda says, please come out now and enlighten us with all your wisdom and your thoughts on a man that has changed my life. Speaking of me, thank you, Linda. By telling the truth, who God is and who his son is. I'll wait. And of course, Ola Light Over Darkness can only criticize, can't come up with anything. Minneapolis Fitter says, please enlighten us, all of us, with your superior knowledge. Blow me away with words of wisdom. Correct Martin on all of his errors. Please, finally, someone worthy to take him on. And of course, there's no answer. And oh, Carol Lee, too. Carol Lee comes to my defense. Thank you, Carol Lee. Okay, Ola Light Over Darkness, please educate us regarding Martin's errors. I'm always willing to be educated. Tell me where I'm wrong. Show me the scripture. What, no matter what I've said over the last 33 years, tell me where I'm wrong and prove it in the scriptures. And don't weave tales. Don't give me philosophies. Don't tell me, well, I can't explain it to you now. I have to move. I can't really give you a verse. No, tell me where I'm wrong. Carol Lee says, Ola Light Over Darkness, please educate us regarding Martin's errors. We really would like to know. If you do not answer, it reflects poorly on your credibility. Yes, it does. And then Carol Lee says, a few hours later, we're still waiting. Yeah, where am I wrong? Show me where I'm wrong. Okay, that's enough of that, but I thought it was entertaining. Okay, so I covered the NFL, the world's greatest receptions in NFL history, which was so, the NFL so influential on me, I realized it today. And now we're going to go to the scriptures. Chapter 5. We just finished 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul's teaching on the snatching away. And then he says, so that console one another with these words. Now, what he says in chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, let's see if I can get through it. If I don't, I'll get through it tomorrow. I'll finish it tomorrow. Paul says, and remember, there's no chapter headings in the original scriptures. There's no punctuation either. It's Uncial Greek. There's no punctuation, no chapter, and just like one giant text. Paul is great on the run-on sentences, I'll tell you that. Here we go. Now, concerning the times and the eras, brethren, and boy, are we concerned, are we passionate about the times and the eras, you have no need to be written to. For you yourselves are accurately aware that the day of the Lord, that's what we're looking for, the day of the Lord is both the snatching away and the beginning of the tribulation. The snatching away happens before the tribulation. Don't listen to anybody who says it's mid-trib or post-trib. We are not appointed to indignation, and we have no business being here when God picks up again with Israel. You yourselves are accurately aware that the day of the Lord is as a thief in the night. Thus is it coming. But wait a minute. No. Wait, Paul. He says it's coming as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, that's the return of Christ and the beginning of the tribulation. But listen to what he says next. Now, whenever they may be saying peace and security, and I had a video, I just saw it, it was in the news, and these are the exact words they used, peace and security. And, of course, with the war in Iran, and that's going to have a good ending, trust me, it's going to have a great ending. There's going to be a peace treaty, there's going to be peace in the Middle East, and they're going to be saying peace and security. They already are. They already are. I made a bookmark of the news program where they actually said peace and security recently, like late last week. Now, whenever they may be saying peace and security, then extermination is standing by them unawares. This agrees completely with what our Lord said, that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of the Son of Man in glory. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They were just oblivious, basically, living their lives, everyday lives. Everything's normal. Everything's going to go on forever. All the prophecies have been wrong, says Clyde Pilkington. And since all the prophecies have been wrong, since all the date setters have been wrong, therefore, Christ is not going to come for 500 years. That's just so illogical. Now, whenever they may be saying peace and security, then extermination is standing by them unawares. There was just a major earthquake in Venezuela. Did you see that? 7.5 on the Richter scale. I asked my wife, do earthquakes happen often in Venezuela? She said, no. So our Lord said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. I'm looking for another one very soon in a strange place. Paul says, when they may be saying peace and security, I'm in 1 Corinthians 5. Chapter 3, this is right after the snatching away passage. Then extermination is standing by them unawares. And just look at the people around you. They are so unaware. And this throws me for a loop sometimes. I see how people seem so content, but they're not content. They're living lives of quiet desperation everywhere. Don't be thrown off by people's placid expressions and how they're just going about their lives like everything's normal, everything's fine. It's not. Even if it is, they're going to be taken unawares by the tribulation, completely unawares, and we are going to be gone, and they're going to be taken unawares, even as a pang over the pregnant. I don't see how useful this analogy is. I'll have to ask Paul about this when I see him, because a pang over the pregnant is not exactly, well, I mean, the woman knows she's pregnant, but I guess the pang catches her unawares. I guess some women go into premature labor, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, ouch, what was that? God, I'm only 8.5 months, you know what I mean? So I guess that's what he means. And they may by no means escape. None of these people out there are going to escape that you see that are unbelievers. None of them are going to escape. None of them. I'm sorry. It's not me. This is Paul speaking. I would love for them all to escape. I would love for them all to watch MZTV and get the evangel. I've heralded the evangel positively. I've entreated for 33 years. And yes, with entreaty, I have exposed and rebuked, because that's part of my job. The evangel is 2/3 negative. And for these yo-yos who wrote me yesterday, they have no idea what they're talking about. But they're entertaining as hell. So that's why I read their letters and my response. So if anybody has any issues with me calling out Clyde and other people, it's all doctrine. It's all based on their teaching. It is nothing personal. And I love them all. And I've stated that over and over again. And yet some people say, how can you possibly love Clyde if you... Okay. All right. You know, you do your job. I'll do mine. Okay. You're on that side of the camera for a reason. I'm on this side of the camera for a reason. I could say more, but I won't, because you'll accused me of being a proud, pompous, overly confident prick, which I'm absolutely not. I have no strength apart from Christ. None. And I'm suffering now because of Christ. Christ is giving me this. He's doing this for me, not to me. Okay? I have cancer. And Christ and God are doing this for me, not to me. This is suffering I have to have at the end of the eon. And all of you, God, I so thank you for your comments. And for the people who are picking on me, you know, okay, whatever. Good luck. Have fun. I see you're still watching my show every day, so it's all for you. Enjoy it. Take what you can get out of it. It's for you. I love you, too. I love you, too, okay? But for those who have sent me such heartfelt comments for me and my wife as well, Maria, I thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at the bottom of the peninsula. I swear, you are so important to us. We love you so much. We never take you for granted. I don't take any one of you for granted. Your comments, I read all of them. I try to respond to everyone, but sometimes I just can't. Now, okay, but listen to this, because Paul just said, the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. So, wait a minute. But then he says in verse 4, now you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day may be overtaking you as a thief. So, for the world, see, he doesn't say this specifically in verse 2. You yourselves are accurately aware that the day of the Lord is a thief in the night. Thus is it coming. And it makes you think at first that he's talking to the Thessalonians specifically, that it's going to come as a thief in the night to them. But then you're relieved of that thought when you read in verse 4, now you, brethren, are not in darkness. What does that mean? God's given us light. God's given us, like, he's given us the time. We know the time. Every one of you are saying the time is near. We are children of the light. We are not in darkness. We are given a sense by the Spirit of God and by other things, by watching the signs, by the 7,000 year plan of God, we are apprised that this thing is happening soon, perhaps this fall. And Paul confirms this. You are not in darkness, that the day may be overtaking you as a thief. In other words, we're going to know when it's coming. We're going to know when it's happening. It's not going to overtake us as a thief. This is what Paul's saying. It's not going to overtake us as a thief. Why? Verse 5. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. In other words, we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant. We're in the light. We're apprised. We're aware. We're watching. We're waiting. We're expectant. We're loving his appearing as we are supposed to. Consequently, then, we may not be drowsing, and none of us are drowsing, even as the rest, like these guys who are saying, oh, it's going to be the same, waiting the consummation, it's all going to be, everybody's going to be saved anyway, so what are you getting so excited about? Sorry, we're excited about snatching away, okay? Have fun swinging your hammock at the consummation. We're living at the end of Aeon 3, and we're looking forward to immortality, okay? Consequently, we may not be drowsing even as the rest, but we may be watching. Watching. This is the opposite of what Clyde tells us to do. In fact, Clyde Pilkington makes fun of us for watching. Mocks us for watching. Why are you people watching? Don't waste your time watching. Yet Paul, our apostle, says in a letter written to the body of Christ, 1 Thessalonians, 13 letters written to the body of Christ, not two. Paul says, consequently, then we may not be drowsing even as the rest, but we may be watching and sober. For those who are drowsing at night, and those who are drunk at night. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober, putting on the cuirass, that is the breastplate and the backplate, of faith and love. Faith, believing in this, snatching away, in spite of not seeing anything, in spite of today being just like yesterday, being just like the day before, being just like the day before, and yet we have faith. And it's a cuirass. It protects us. Our faith protects us from discouragement, from depression, from suicide, from Anxiety, I guess anxiety comes before suicide. Depression, anxiety, and suicide. Faith protects us from that. That's the queerest of faith and love. And we love each other. And I love Clyde Pilkington, by the way. And the helmet, what is the helmet? And I'll end here at verse 8. I'll read the rest of it to you tomorrow. The helmet, the expectation of salvation.